The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors. Got questions concerning elder or estate law? Attorney Mike Connors has the answer. He was recognized as one of New York's top lawyers by New York Magazine and brings over 30 years' experience to the table. His office number is 718-238-6500. That's 718-238-6500. Here's Mike Connors.
We are gathered here on hallowed ground. Horses raised, heads bowed down.
Welcome to Ask the Lawyer with me, Mike Connors. For those of you who don't know about the show, first time, well, welcome if this is the first time you're listening to the show. The first part of the show, we talk about estate planning and elder law. And the idea behind estate planning is to pass assets from one generation to the next, paying the least amount in taxes we need to pay legally, avoiding going through court, that's usually avoiding probate. And as far as elder law is concerned, we're trying to save assets from nursing home bills. Like I said, the first part of the show, we talk about estate planning and elder law. The second part of the show, we talk about politics, history, religion, nostalgia, old movies. And today we're going to be talking to Marty Golden, former state senator from Brooklyn, and one of the great character actors of the 20th century, a little bit into the 21st century, Wilford Brimley, the manager from The Natural. So in any event, we've got, you know, I got a little bit of help today. First, we've got Nick. Nick, tell us something about yourself. And where did you grow up? Where did you go to school? Where did you go to law school?
I went to law school in Massachusetts, Western New England University. I had wanted to stay in New York, but they gave me a nice scholarship. So I ended up going to Massachusetts for a couple of years. And I came back to New York City, of course. Bay Ridge was where I'm from. And I grew up in a place called Jordan. I went to a Catholic school called Collège de La Salle. It's a French LaSallian Catholic school. And I know you asked me that once before, and I think sometimes maybe the listeners wonder, because a lot of people are surprised when we say Catholic school in the Middle East. The family's background is Middle Eastern Christian. So, and this is something I never told you. I actually grew up Catholic, and I went to Catholic school, but I was baptized Greek Orthodox.
So oh, really?
We get the best of both worlds.
Okay. All right. So what's the question you have there?
So first question we have is from Joe. Joe's from Staten Island, and Joe is asking, will I lose any control over my property or assets if I create a trust?
That's a little bit of a difficult question to answer because we don't know what kind of trust you're going to create. If you create an irrevocable trust to protect those assets from nursing home bills, you don't really lose control, but at the same time, you're kind of like in partnership with your children. And I'm assuming that if you're thinking about an irrevocable trust, you have children, because very rarely do we do an irrevocable trust with people other than your children, although you certainly can, nephew or niece or whatever. But the idea behind an irrevocable trust, it's kind of like a partnership. The parents can't sell the house without the children, and the children can't sell the house without the parents. The reason you do that is to protect that house from medical bills. A house in an irrevocable trust is protected from medical bills immediately. So if there are any medical bills not covered by insurance, you can apply for medical assistance, Medicaid, to pay for community Medicaid or home care Medicaid, which pays for any medical bills not covered by insurance. And in New York, if you're over 65 or disabled, you put your assets in an irrevocable trust. 1 month, you can apply for home care or community Medicaid the next month. Home care Medicaid pays for home equipment, supplies, home attendance to keep you or a family member, you know, out of a nursing home. And there are a lot of good programs in New York as far as home care Medicaid is concerned. That's an irrevocable trust. Now, irrevocable, even then, that's misleading, because some people say, well, I do an irrevocable trust, I can't change it because it's irrevocable, right? No, an irrevocable trust in New York can be changed. We can change the trustees. We can change the beneficiary. So if you have an irrevocable trust with your three children, you get in a fight with one of your children, you can leave it to the other two. You can change an irrevocable trust in New York. Your son's the trustee. You have a problem with your son. You know, you can fire your son and go with one of your other children. I can tell you right now from experience, if we do 100 trusts, if we let's say, get rid of one child out of a trust out of 100, that's a lot. If you got three kids, you're going to leave your house to three kids. If you have two kids, you're going to leave the house to two kids. If you have one child, what's the chance you're going to disinherit an only child? But you can do that in New York, and I can't stress that enough, because too many people think that if I do an irrevocable trust, I can't change anything. Now, if you do a revocable trust, you will avoid probate, and the house will pass out tax-free to the kids, just like an irrevocable trust. But you have full and complete control, but there's not as enough protection, not as much protection against medical bills, nursing home bills, whatever. And the problem in today's world, if you go to a nursing home in New York City, the average cost of a nursing home in the entire city is about $15,000 a month, $500 a day. And in Manhattan, believe me, it's more expensive than that. So if you want to protect your house from nursing home bills, we recommend ordinarily you go with an irrevocable trust. There's no one right answer for everybody, but if you want to come in and talk it over at Connors and Sullivan, you're more than welcome to do it. You know, now each week, Kevin McCullough takes one of the questions that are emailed to us, and he asks it on behalf of his audience. And you can hear Kevin McCullough's show Monday through Friday at 5 o'clock on 970 The Answer. He has an extended hour from 4 to 6 on Wednesdays, sharing the show with John Catsimatidis. And then he's also on nationally on WMCA The Mission Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock. So, Kevin, take it away.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Every week I promise you an actual solution. You know, an answer to a question that you have about estate care or elder law or, you know, will or end of life care, all this stuff that you've got to have in place. Michael Connors, a very good friend of this broadcast and someone who has been helping New Yorkers and people in the tri-state area with their issues in this regard for years. In fact, he's rated by his colleagues as one of the very best in the business, joins us to answer these questions. And Mike, Janet writes from, I don't know where she's from, but she says, Mr. Connors, my aunt lives in Bayside. She only owned a house valued at $350,000, so we just deeded the house to my sister and I to save on estate taxes. That was the right thing to do, wasn't it? Question mark.
It was definitely not the right thing to do.
Oh, no, Janet.
Yeah. Now, I can't imagine that there's a house in Bayside only worth $350,000, so I don't think you can find a house less than $1 million in Bayside. But in any event, there's no estate tax in New York under $5,740,000. There's no estate tax federally under $11,400,000. I mean, that's thanks to President Trump. And the problem is, I assume the aunt bought the house years ago. So even taking the $350 value, let's say if she paid $30,000 for the house 30 years ago and they sell it for $350, unless the sister lives in the house, they're going to have a capital gain of over $300,000, which
Ouch.
Costs $100,000 in taxes.
Right.
Which we didn't have to pay any tax if we put it in the trust and held it till after the aunt dies.
Oh, no.
Not only that, if something happens to one of them, they get sued, divorced. You know, there could be a problem. The divorcing spouse might say, I own part of the property in Bayside. And that happens because other states have different rules. New York inherited property is not subject to divorce. But let's say the sister lived in Massachusetts or something. They got crazy rules there, you know, about inherited property.
Well, if you're in Janet's position, friends, don't make the same mistake. In fact, call the office of Connors and Sullivan and get them started on your situation now so that you don't make that mistake. It's so easy to do. Here's the phone number, 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. And then send more questions because Mike loves to answer them. AskMikeConnors@gmail.com, AskMikeConnors@gmail.com. He'll answer them right here on Kevin McCullough Radio and on his own broadcast Saturday morning at 8 o'clock on AM 570 The Mission, and Sunday mornings at 11 on AM 970 The Answer. Mike Connors, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks again, Kevin. Beth, you're next up. You're on deck. You're ready to come to the batter's circle. You're ready to take a swing?
I don't know. I guess so. How about a spring? This is about a springing and a durable power of attorney. Nancy from Bayside is a little bit confused, and she says, can you please tell me the difference between a springing and a durable power of attorney?
Again, that's a little confusing because a springing can be a durable power of attorney. Basically, a durable power of attorney, that's a power of attorney. God forbid somebody has a stroke or another disabling illness, the power of attorney is still effective. It's not revoked by your disabling illness. So that's the idea of a durable power of attorney. It's durable. It's not revoked because you're mentally not able to do it. And in the basis of elder law planning, we do a power of attorney to act precisely if somebody has a stroke, they have a disabling illness, they're incompetent. Now, a springing PAV attorney, basically that's a PAV attorney that's nobody can use the PAV attorney unless, and the language can be slightly different, but usually unless a medical doctor has been treating you for the last few years and writes a statement that you cannot competently handle your own financial business affairs, until that doctor writes the letter, they can't use the PAV attorney. Could be a psychologist if you wanted to, could be a psychiatrist, or it could be the doctor who's treated you. But basically, the idea behind a springing PAV attorney, it doesn't spring into life until a medical professional puts in a statement, you are not able to handle your affairs in a capable manner. What a capable manner is, that's hard to say sometimes, but you're trusting your physician. And the reason sometimes people do the springing PAV attorney, maybe they trust their children, or maybe they don't have children and a neighbor's going to use the PAV attorney, and they put some kind of restriction, you know, and like couples, if they're afraid maybe they're going to get divorced, they don't necessarily want the other member of the spouse to be able to use the PAV attorney in case of divorce for leverage, so they can't use the PAV attorney unless a medical doctor, usually a medical doctor, puts in a statement that you're not able to handle your affairs in a capable manner. And I mean, I know it sounds confusing when you put titles to different names, and I always tell people, don't worry about a title. Read what you want to accomplish, and then we try to put it in writing. But a springing PAV attorney does not come into effect. It springs into effect when a medical doctor says you're not able to handle your own affairs. Can we put other restrictions down there? Certainly. And if you have any questions about it, you can give us a call at Connors and Sullivan about that at 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. Well, Michael, you're third up in the order tonight. So what's...
All right. So this question is from Susan. Hi, Mike. What happens if someone objects to a will?
That's a good question. And if somebody objects to a will, it goes to court, and it can end up in trial. You know, some people think, well, wait a minute. I have a will. You know, I've got 10 nephews and nieces. I'm going to leave everything to 9 nephews and nieces. The 10th one, I haven't seen him in 20 years. He's no good. He's not my will. So does he have a right to object to my will? Yes. Anybody who's your next of kin by law is entitled to file objections to contest your will. If they do file objections to contest your will, it's going to go through court. It could end up in trial. I mean, the court tries very hard to try to settle these cases. But you know what that means? When you go to a settlement conference, what's going to happen? There's going to be a referee, a law assistant in surrogate's court. The job of that referee is to settle cases. What settles cases? Money. So the question's going to get asked to the people who are left something in the will. How much money are you willing to give to settle this case? That may not sound like it's an ideal world or anything else, but that's the way it works. Money settles cases. So the people that you want to name in your will are going to have to come up with some money to settle the case, to go to the objecting party. That's what happens. Most cases get settled. If it goes to trial, it's going to be very expensive, and you never know in some cases what a jury is going to say. And that's why cases are settled, because there's no certainty. People think, well, it's very clear. I mean, why would anybody object to my will? It's very simple. It's very clear. Everybody knows that I'm of sound mind. Well, when you're dead, not everybody knows everything. And people can make up stories. People can say it's a forgery. Somebody else signed your name. Get a handwriting expert to say anything. Sometimes you can get some psychiatrist. You pay a psychiatrist enough. They can go over your medical records and say, you know, you're not mentally competent. Now, I know some of the courts, they don't like to have a psychiatrist testify who never saw the patient, but I've seen it in some places where a psychiatrist who never saw the patient in his or her lifetime comes in and testifies based on the medical records, and they can confuse it. You know, there was not enough information in their medical records to determine whether they were competent or not. And sometimes that can put a seed of thought in the jury's mind. And you never know how a jury's going to react to testimony. So for the most part, you don't want to be in a position where somebody's going to contest your will. You can avoid somebody contesting your will by not going through probate. You avoid probate when you pass away. There are no assets in your name alone when you pass away. If you have bank accounts, they're in trust for a joint. If you have, you know, U.S. savings bonds, treasury bills, you can make them payable on death. If you have a brokerage account, you can make a TOD, transfer on death. Those designations will avoid probate. You have an IRA, you put a beneficiary on them. If you own real estate, it's not quite as easy to avoid probate. And that's why if you go to our seminars, we spend a lot of time talking about the real estate, because that's a little bit harder to avoid probate. And the best way to avoid probate on real estate is through a trust agreement. It's parents' house as long as the parents are alive. After the parents are gone, it goes to the next generation, usually tax-free. By tax-free, as of January 1st, it's going to be $5,850,000 tax-free in New York. The federal tax, I think, as of January 1st, is going to be $11,600,000. So if you're below those numbers, it's going to be tax-free. So 90% of the time, it goes out tax-free. Nobody can contest your will if you don't have a will leaving assets in probate. It's a family contract. Don't get scared. And, you know, there are other things you can do. You can put your son or daughter's name on the deed, and that may or may not avoid probate. But so many things can happen if you put your son or daughter's name on the deed. Believe me, the best way to do it is through a trust agreement. Now, we're going to take a short break. After the break, we're going to be talking to Marty Golden of Catholic Charities.
Whether you need help with drafting a will or trust, power of attorney, health care proxy, living will, or protecting your assets from nursing home costs, Connors and Sullivan's goal is always the protection of your rights and interests. The professionals at Connors and Sullivan have been helping people like you plan their estates and protect their families for over 30 years.
I'm Mike Connors. Come to our office for a free initial consultation. Talk with me or one of our experienced attorneys to see how we can help you protect your family, your assets, and your legacy. There is no one strategy that fits everyone, but the biggest mistake when it comes to estate planning is no planning at all.
Call Connors and Sullivan, Attorneys at Law, today to schedule a free initial consultation with an attorney at any of their convenient locations in Brooklyn, Midtown Manhattan, Queens, and Staten Island. 718-238-6500. That's 718-238-6500. Or visit their website, ConnorsandSullivan.com.
We all know someone who's been touched by cancer. It's the second leading cause of death. And it took the life of my father, John Wayne. But even in his final days, he was thinking about helping others and publicly campaigning to raise awareness about cancer. His courage and grit inspired our family to do everything we could to fight the Big C, as my dad called it. So we did something about it and founded the John Wayne Cancer Institute 35 years ago to advance life-saving research. Our discoveries are fundamentally changing the way cancer is treated around the world. Cures are within our reach, but we can't do it alone. I'm Patrick Wayne, and I'd be honored if you joined us in the fight against cancer. You can make a lasting legacy by helping to eradicate this deadly disease. Together, we can save lives. To learn more, visit jwcigiving.org. That's jwcigiving.org. From our family to yours, I wish you a happy and healthy new year.
Do you hear what I hear? Said the night wind to the little lamb.
Welcome to the Connors Corner segment of Ask the Lawyer. You know, I live in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, and for about 20 years, I was represented by our next guest, first as a city council member, then a state senator. And we welcome to the show Marty Golden.
How are you, Michael? Good to be on the line with you. Very good. Very good to be with you today and this great program.
Marty, what are you doing today?
I'm working over at Catholic Charities. I'm doing work with development and fundraising. I'm the vice president for that organization. And it's been an interesting life, from a police officer to owning a Bay Ridge Manor and catering hall and owning and some other businesses, as well as being involved as a city council and a state senator for the past 20 years. So I made this move over in March and February, rather, and it's been a great move for me in getting to understand what Catholic Charities does for Brooklyn and Queens. It's the largest diocese in the country, and people don't understand it. It's one of the biggest secrets out there, and my role is to try to develop programs and fundraise and to get this little secret out into the communities.
I just want to focus on this because a lot of people, including a lot of my clients, get confused between Catholic Charities of New York and Catholic Charities of Brooklyn and Queens. It's not the same thing.
Not at all. The New York Archdiocese is New York City, Staten Island, and the Bronx. And then there's Brooklyn and Queens, which is a separate diocese. And there are dioceses throughout the country. But this is the largest one in the country, and somewhere around 47 buildings with housing somewhere around 4,700 senior citizens, 4,700 units, I should say. And I'm not even counting the number of people that live in those units. And being able to have the ability to, A, bring those services to our seniors and to our low-income families and to our homeless veterans is very, very, very difficult. And as you know, in New York, the price of real estate and the homelessness that's going on is tremendous. So Catholic Charities is doing its part and doing it in a large way and trying to make sure that we take care of those seniors, those families, those veterans, and making sure that the money is available there for those institutions and for this 160 programs that this great organization does as well.
The CEO of Catholic Charities is really a remarkable man, Monsignor Lapinto.
I started off with Monsignor Lapinto early this morning. He can tell you the incomes of the buildings, where we're losing money, where we're making some money, how many people live in each one of these units, each one of the programs. He can break it down as to which programs need more attention, which programs need more funding. And that is part of the role of this great institution, is trying to find those opportunities and find those grants, those dollars that are available to make these dreams come true for these families, for these homeless vets, and of course for our seniors. There's 200,000 seniors looking for housing across the city of New York. Everywhere you go, there's a list of seniors, 8,000, 10,000, to try to get into each one of these buildings. So it is definitely a need in this great, great city for more housing. And the housing that we have, and we're building another three units next year in 2020. But it's still not going to be enough to be able to control and hopefully help some of the seniors in need that need them right away.
Again, you can't really even count all the programs. There's more than 160. So, yeah, we have the housing for the seniors. We have the Veterans Center for Homeless Veterans out in Queens. What can you tell us about that program?
Well, that's new, and it's opened recently over the past couple of years. Actually, it's got somewhere around 128 to 130 veterans that are living there today, and the numbers are increasing. And we're looking, obviously, for that veteran that does need that housing. And, of course, we need more housing units. There are plenty of veterans looking for housing, but we need the units to be able to afford to put these seniors assisted living facilities, nursing facilities, and, of course, regular housing, independent living for those veterans, for those families, and for those seniors. So the veterans are on top priority here in Catholic Charities.
To those of us involved, this is a stupid question, but some people on the outside, the services of Catholic Charities are not limited to Catholics.
Not at all. You'd be amazed to find out how many people in this great, great organization come. I think there's like 60 languages spoken. There are different religions, different countries, different ethnic groups that are living and coming into Catholic Charities on a regular basis. We have a number of food pantries that are set up throughout the city. We have a number of sites where we take care of those that are addicted to drugs and alcohol. We have a number of sites out there that are dealing with seniors, again, senior centers, so that we can get that loneliness that sets into a senior when they're left on their own and they don't have opportunities to get out there. And isolation is one of the big killers, and we don't want that to happen. So those are just some of the programs. We got to remember, we start from zero up to death. We start with Head Start programs. You name it. We take care of those children from the day they're born all the way through, if need be, to the day that they become a senior and unfortunately go home to their dear Lord. But we work with every ethnic group in this great city, state, and country.
Now, I just want to mention one thing. Your predecessor was John Potvin, and he should be in our prayers. I understand he has some complications.
John Potvin is a great man. Obviously, for those on the air, he was a great hockey player. I can't say what they would say in the stands, but Potvin
New York Rangers stands.
New York,
not New York Islander stands.
I'm sorry. I apologize. The Islanders are his brother and the good Ledecky, who own and have been in contact with John Poffin and Shlomo Zalman Sr. as of this past weekend. John Poffin needed a liver here about a year ago and was actually told he's not going to get one. Thanks to the owner of the Islanders and the and John Poffin's brother, they were able to get him down to Florida and get a liver transplant back in, I would say it was about April, somewhere in that category, maybe even earlier. Since then, he started to recover greatly. He got pneumonia in probably August, and he has a pacemaker. And the pacemaker hasn't been working right, and they brought him into the hospital in the past 2 weeks, and they fixed the condition with the pacemaker, but they found out they needed a kidney transplant as well. So this guy has had 9 lives, but they've been tough 9 lives over the past 2 years. God bless him. I hope everybody keeps him in his prayers. Right now, he is in a ICU unit in Cleveland Institute in Florida, recovering and from his illnesses, and of course, waiting and praying for a kidney transplant. So it's been a very tough call, a tough go for this man and his family.
Yeah, we got to keep John and his family in our prayers. You know, he did a great job. You got to respect the guy. He was just a great hockey player, and he had a great career after hockey.
Well, you got to remember, the shoes that I'm filling right now are John Poffin's. John Poffin was doing the very job that I am doing today, as fundraising and development. So when he got sick, it was a setback for not only him and his family, but a setback for Catholic Charities. So I was trying to fill those shoes. I believe me, they are difficult shoes to fill. He was well-liked and is well-liked and is a good man. And like I said, we got to keep them in prayers, like you're saying, and hopefully they get through this battle.
All right. Now, getting back to Catholic Charities, I'm going to ask you two questions. One, if you need help from Catholic Charities, where do you go?
Well, if there is need for help, you can call our numbers here. I'll even give my own personal number here is 722-718-722-6024. But 191 Joralemon Street is the headquarters for both Monsignor Lapinto and Father Keating, who are the CEO and COO of this great organization. And we will make sure that we get the information out to those that need it. We will make sure that if assistance is needed and we can't provide it, we will find a place to get them that information and that help. And we will continue to work with them as much as we can and making sure that their quality of life is a good quality of life. But that's what I would suggest. If anybody needs, give me a call and we'll make sure that we take care of those needs.
Okay. At the same time, again, if somebody wants to volunteer for Catholic Charities or make a charitable donation, how do they do that?
They can, make a check out to, or I'll tell you what you can do. There, you can do martin.golden@ccbq.org, and that is my email, and we will make sure that that gets distributed to the right organization within our group, and that the help is provided for that individual. If that person wants to donate, they can also mail, if they wish, to the Catholic Charities, Brooklyn and Queens at 191 Joralemon Street, and they can put down there Monsignor Lapinto, his name, or my name, whichever, and we'll make sure that he gets the check, and he makes sure, or the gratuity. Some people give different types of giving. Giving is needed for Catholic Charities, whether it's a stock portfolio or whether people are making up their wills and they want to leave money to Catholic Charities. That is something that is we're in desperate need of, and hopefully that will happen in the future. But that's 191 Joralemon Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11201. And my telephone number again here is 718-722-6024. And again, martin.golden@ccbq.org. Or you can do www.ccbq.org. org, if they wish to do it that way.
And listen, I know, you know, obviously everybody would like large contributions, but no contribution is too small.
You got $5 is $5, and it still helps to purchase and to buy stuff that is needed for, whether it be families, whether it be a homeless person, whether it be seniors or veterans, homeless families. We're there to take from the smallest donation to the largest donation. And please, if you're listening and you are out there and you're in a position to help Catholic Charities, please do, because they do an outstanding job. Like I said, 4,700 units of housing. That is just Brooklyn and Queens. That's not including the programs for those that are addicted to drugs and alcohol, for those that have young children that need Head Start programs and schooling. We're in the schools. We're doing STEAM and STEM programs for our kids. We have a great, 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 I would say, balance here in this great organization, and being able to be family centrist and also dealing with those that are not in that position, those that are alone, those that are our seniors, those that are family members that are out there that need help. We're there to help them.
Remember, this is the season, the time for giving. Not that you can't give all year round, but remember Christ and Christmas. Remember the work of Catholic Charities.
I got to tell you, Michael, it is something that a lot of people are unaware of. It's the great work that this organization does, and it does need financial help. And believe me, we do get city, state, and federal funding. We do a number of fundraisers, and we have a number of people giving us money and contributions. But let me tell you, it is far, the needs far exceed the intake of dollars coming into our organization. So if they can do that, would be really helping our seniors, our kids, our families, and really doing something that they can be proud of.
Marty Golden, thank you for doing God's work in this world.
Michael, thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thanks again to Marty Golden for taking time to tell us about the work of Catholic Charities. And I really can't say this enough. Catholic Charity does a great job on a lot of different levels. Housing for the seniors, care for the seniors, homeless veterans. They have a center to take care of homeless veterans. They do mental health clinics. Somebody couldn't even enumerate all the different programs run by Catholic Charities among Brooklyn and Queens. And I just want to make a distinction. We're talking about Catholic Charities of Brooklyn and Queens, Catholic Charities of New York City, Manhattan. They do a great job, but it is a different organization. Some of you may say, where did I hear Marty Golden's name before? Well, he used to be the city councilman and state senator for this part of Brooklyn for, you know,
and
forever.
I mean, back when he was here, we couldn't have asked for a better public servant. That was after being a New York City policeman, and I'm surprised that he's found yet another way to help the community as best he can with Catholic Charities. So,
yeah. So thanks again to Marty Golden for all the service he's done in the past and all the service he's doing for us now. Now, our next guest, a lot of you know I really love old Westerns and character actors. We've got on, in my mind, one of the best, if not the best character actor of the 70s, 80s, 90s. You know, there were a lot of great character actors in Hollywood in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And those great personalities kind of died out from the screen. But Wilford Brimley, our next guest, really was one of the most entertaining character actors that I can remember from that part. Now, I know, Michael, you like The Thing.
Absolutely. I'm a big John Carpenter fan, and so, of course, Wilford Brimley in The Thing is one of the pieces that puts that movie together. It's one of my favorite horror movies, but you and Mr. Brimley seem to prefer some of the older style stuff. That's
yeah.
Matter of taste, but...
Well, he's a character and he's got his opinion.
Yep,
you know,
absolutely.
He's a character actor on more than one level. He's an actor and he's a character.
Yeah.
You know, so... But I really enjoyed some of his... I also liked, you know, some of the Westerns that he did with Turner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Tom Selleck and...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't have to be the biggest production or anything, but sometimes just making good entertainment is what people want to do and what people do very well.
You know, and also I remember The Natural, where he played the baseball manager.
Absolutely. And Cocoon, that's another big hit with him.
Yeah.
So
I didn't know this until we prepared for the interview, but he was an extra on True Grit,
mm-hmm,
with John Wayne and Robert Duvall, and he became friends with Robert Duvall, and Robert Duvall eventually got him into acting. And Robert Duvall was also in The Natural, along with,
right,
of course, Robert Redford and Glenn Close and a lot of the other people. So Darren McGavin was in that,
yeah.
You know, The Natural, you know.
Yep.
So the reason we like Darren McGavin is because of what was that TV series?
Kolchak.
The
Night Stalker.
Night Stalker, yeah. It's one of the classic TV series that never was a hit, but still entertaining.
Still great. Yeah. Still great.
All right, so we're going to go back. We're going to be talking to Wilford Brimley, talking about his acting career, and we'll take it from there.
Do you have somewhere to sleep? Did you eat today? Are you making ends meet? For thousands of New Yorkers, the answer is no. For children and youth, adults, seniors, people struggling with addiction or mental illness, and for the isolated, Catholic Charities of Brooklyn and Queens is there. With 160 programs and more than 4,500 units of affordable housing, Catholic Charities is one of the largest multi-service charitable organizations in the nation. We help change lives and build communities. If you or someone you know needs assistance, call 718-722-6001 or visit ccbq.org.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older and are finding it hard to pay off debt, or how about enjoying your retirement years with less stress? A government-insured reverse mortgage may be the answer or might be the perfect solution for you and your family. Hi, this is Frank Melia, a certified mortgage planner. I've been a mortgage specialist for over 20 years, and I've helped countless homeowners all over the tri-state area tap into a little or a lot of their home equity so they can use it right now. This past October, the federal government made changes to the reverse mortgage loan program. Give me a call now so our office can show you how these changes affect how much money you receive and how the annual mortgage insurance costs have decreased. My job is to help you find the best solutions for your retirement goals. I do this by educating homeowners with straightforward information and answers. It's free to call and speak with me, Frank Melia, to determine if this FHA program might be able to help you and your loved ones now. Call and speak with me right now. I'll answer your questions and help you decide if a reverse mortgage is right for you and your family. Make the call now, 888-943-2646, or try me on the internet at www.quanticbank.com/fmelia. Once again, call 888-943-2646, and you could be on your way to a stress-free retirement.
Frank Melia, NMLS number 62591. All loans provided by Quantic Bank, NMLS number 403503.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Welcome to the Connor's Corner segment of Ask the Lawyer. I'm a big fan of old movies. And, you know, back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, there were so many great character actors around Hollywood. And later on, there didn't seem to be many as quite as many personalities. But we're very privileged to have on one of the great personalities in cinema, Wilford Brimley. How you doing, sir?
Very well, thank you.
The obvious question, before you were an actor, what kind of jobs did you have?
Many, many. I was a bartender. I was a horseshoer. I was a racehorse trainer. Several.
How'd you get into acting and into Hollywood?
Well, I started out as what they call an extra in films. I could get around a saddle horse pretty good, or a team of wagons. I could drive teams, and they were always looking for those kind of guys. So that's how I got in the beginning.
I was looking on IMDb, and I saw that you were in True Grit. If I saw True Grit today, the John Wayne True Grit, how would I spot you?
You would not spot me. I was an extra. I did a little horseback work in there, and then I was just one of the folks that were. I had no scripted part in there. I was an extra.
But we can't see. Hey, that's him in the background there, in whatever scene.
Well, you might. There's a courtroom scene there where you might see me. When you work as an extra, it's kind of one of your jobs is not be seen so you can be recognized. If all you do is show them a live warm body, then they'll call you back tomorrow. But if they see your face and it's recognizable, well, obviously, they can't use you again.
Now, let me ask you something. That film was directed by Henry Hathaway, who is really one of the last of the great Hollywood directors. Did you have any interaction with him? What did you think of him?
None whatsoever. I didn't even meet him.
You didn't even meet him?
No.
Well, how'd you get from being an extra to being an actor?
Well, he quit making Westerns. And I had a really good friend who I still happen to think he's the best actor we have, and he encouraged me to
throw my hat in the ring and try it. Robert Duvall, my friend.
Yes, who was in True Grit and did have a very important part.
Yeah.
You know, how does the conversation go? How does he get you into acting?
Well, he just suggested that I try it, and we had conversations. I would say, what do I have to do? And he would say, just do it. Don't worry about all the wherewithal. Just do it. The hard part about being an actor is not doing the work. It's getting the job.
I've heard that before. Now, did you take any training as an actor? Did you go to an acting school?
No, I didn't. Maybe I should have. I don't know.
No, that's why.
I didn't know.
That's why you have a unique personality. You weren't trained in an acting school. You were yourself.
Well, yeah.
Obviously, you were in some notable films, including one of the great baseball movies of all time, The Natural, and you played the manager. Are you a baseball fan?
Yes, I did. Yes, I am.
You know, how did you get into the part, and what was the part? Tell the audience, what was the part? Who did you play?
Well, I was Pop Fisher, the manager of the New York Knights, and the way I wound up doing that is I had an agent, you know, who submitted me to that company for that part, and I interviewed the director, and we got along okay, and then they hired me.
But you're the most memorable guy in that movie, and there are a lot of great actors in that, including your buddy Robert Duvall and Robert Redford and Darren McGavin and Richard Farnsworth. I always appreciated his performances.
Well, he was my best friend in life, and we had a lot of fun doing that movie.
Now, was Richard Farnsworth in True Grit?
No.
But he used to do a lot of stunt work or whatever in before he became an actor.
Yeah. He was a AAA stuntman. He started out in 1937, doubling Gary Cooper and Beau Gest.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He was a special guy.
No, there's no question. He had a great screen presence, as obviously you do. Now, let me ask you something. The Thing. I read something that you weren't crazy about the movie, but everything you read's not true, obviously.
Crazy about it? No, I thought it was okay, you know. I tell you, I'm not a big fan of special effects. I'm not a real big fan of the creation of all those scary dogs and slimy. The old days, the audience used to create that for themselves in their own mind, and it was a lot better, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, let me ask you, what's the favorite film that you were associated with?
Oh, you know, I did a lot of films, and the one that I enjoy thinking about the most was a little movie that we all got together, Bob Duvall and Glenn Close and Freddie Forrest and myself, and it's called The Stone Boy, and it's a pretty good film, really. Then I did another one with a guy that's a brilliant actor, LeVon Helm. We did one called End of the Line about a railroad yard.
Now, you're still doing work now, it looks like it, from IMBD.
No, I don't. I don't, I'm getting old and I don't get around real good. It'd be hard for somebody to hire me and in fairness to them, I have to tell them I don't get around very good.
One of the things I enjoyed your performances in some of those TV Westerns with Tom Selleck, TNT. I mean, they obviously wasn't great cinema, but they were good entertaining films. Why do you think the Western died out and do you miss it?
Well, it costs a lot of money to make them. And, the people that made them and were so good at it, they're all gone. It's a different bunch that runs the film business now. And clearly their interests are not along those lines.
You mean it's more expensive to make a Western and see 10 cars blow up?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, sure. You got all the clothes, you got to go to a certain place where there's no telephone wire. It's a big deal. And if it's a good one, there's a lot of folks in it.
Yeah, I learned some because I would have thought a Western was relatively cheap to make compared to all these films with special effects and things like that.
Oh, well, now, those movies like the Titanic and those monster epic, they'll break the bank. But day-to-day movie, Westerns, up there in cost.
Now, of course, I think everybody remembers when you were the spokesman for the Diabetes Association. Do you have any comments about that? You've been suffering from the disease for a long time, I understand.
Well, I don't suffer from it. I take care of it, and it's not a problem.
So what would you advise people to do? That how do you take care of it?
Check your blood sugar as often as you can and see a good doctor.
Okay. Do you ever get any fan mail right now?
You know, we do. My wife, she's one in a million. She sits down and answers every letter, and it's amazing.
I would assume you still get a lot of fan mail because talking to other people, again, you were one of the most recognizable actors of the present time. Now, I understand you also released a jazz album a few years back.
Yeah, I got several of them. Music is an important part of my life. So I recorded music primarily for my grandchildren so that they could hear some songs rather than noise.
Well, I assume those albums are available for sale.
I don't know where you'd buy one of them. I really don't. The first one I did, I was hired to do it by the Hallmark Company, and they produced the album. And for a while, it was for sale. It did pretty well. And subsequent to that, I'd put together a bunch of songs and then take a group into the studio. And so we have, all together five, maybe only four albums, but it's pretty good music. Never mind. I'm not a singer. I don't pretend to be, but I can carry a tune, remember the words, and I wanted my grandkids to hear those songs.
Now, if you asked your grandkids, or if you told your grandkids, one film to watch where you performed, what would it be and why?
Well, it'd probably be The Stone Boy.
The Stone Boy?
Yeah, because it was very, very well written, and the people in it that made it were dedicated to it, and it's a very poignant story that's timeless. It's it could be today or yesterday or day after tomorrow. It's what it's like. It's a story of a family trying to adjust to a tragedy in the family and how they succeed and fail, and you know, life goes on.
Who did you play in that film? What was the character?
I played the grandfather. I played the grandfather to the Stone Boy, to the young man in question.
Wilford Brimley, thank you for being on Connor's Corner. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk to our audience.
Well, thanks for the call, pal.
You're more than welcome.
How can I protect my family if something happens to me?
What if I need to go to a nursing home? What will happen to our savings, our home? What's the best way to give my home to my kids?
Who will help us take care of Grandpa?
These and many other questions can be answered with a phone call to Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC, 718-238-6500. Mike Connors, one of New York Magazine's top lawyers, has over 30 years of estate planning and elder law experience. Mike and his team of professionals will help you protect your assets from probate, taxes, and nursing home costs so you can have peace of mind knowing you and your family will be taken care of and protected.
I'm Mike Connors, founder of Connors & Sullivan. People don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. The time to plan is now.
I'm Beth Connors. Call today for a free initial consultation with one of our experienced lawyers.
Connors and Sullivan in Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, and Staten Island. Call 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500, or connorsandsullivan.com.
When a desperate parent calls YCS seeking help for their child with special needs, we are there to answer the call. Our staff provides compassionate care to children affected by trauma, autism, or developmental disabilities. Can you help us provide the services needed to keep families together? Find out how you, your company, or organization can volunteer. Learn more at ycs.org.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Welcome back to Ask the Lawyer with me, Mike Connors. We're now accompanied by my wife, Beth.
Hi, everybody.
And Michael is still here.
Yep, still with you.
You know, thanks again to Wilford Brimley. I know he's not used to doing interviews, but we really enjoyed the interview with him. And again, you know, Beth, we used to talk, you know, like back in the studio days of Hollywood. there used to be some great character actors. There were always character actors in almost every film. And that really is not there anymore. And Wilford Brimley, I think, was one of the last of the great
last
character
of the
actors.
Lot. Yeah. Well, you know, we've recently, fairly recently, been looking at YouTube. And you get these, I've been looking at all these movies from the 30s. And they're wonderful to watch, not because of the plot, really, but because of the acting. It's so much fun to watch all these people, but the wonderful character actors. And unfortunately for me, it's, oh, I recognize that face, but what's his name? What's her name? And they make these stories come alive. And no, you don't have that today.
No, and like I said, again, I'm very happy we got to interview Wilford Brimley because he was one of those character actors who stood out. Of course, one of the things surprising is how much older he looked on screen than he was in person. Because, you know, like somebody might say, is he still alive? Because he looked like an old man in The Natural 30 years ago.
A lot of those character actors did.
All right. And again, we have to thank Marty Golden for all the work that he's doing with Catholic Charities. And here, it's the Christmas time of season. If you're thinking about a charity, you want to leave something, you want an end-of-year deduction, you know, you could use some deductions off your income. Think about Catholic Charities. Again, Marty Golden gave you the phone number where you can call. You can always give us our office a call, and we'll put you in somebody in touch with Catholic Charities. But Catholic Charities of Brooklyn and Queens, they do an awful lot of good work, again, for homeless veterans, for senior citizens, for people who are mentally ill. They go out there and they do the work. And I mean, you know, you can count on government to do nothing. But Catholic Charities, they do God's work in the neighborhoods. If you're in trouble, you can count on Catholic Charities helping out.
And it really can't be stated enough how well run Catholic Charities of Brooklyn and Queens are, whether it's Marty going out there or Monsignor Lepinto, who just has a mind for numbers, as anyone will tell you, that's extraordinary. Father Keating, across the board, everyone there is competent and they have their hearts in the right place and they're out to do the best for these communities in Brooklyn and Queens.
And Catholic Charities is run like a business. Yes, they have a heart. Maybe they're not worth some of their programs. They know they're going to take a loss on because it's doing the right thing. But they still try to get the most out of the dollar to get it into the client. If you call the client the person who needs the services, their mindset is to get the most out of the dollar to help as many people as possible. Nobody's making a fortune working for Catholic Charities. They're doing it out of love for the community, love of God. So again, if you're thinking about a charity, you want to think about a charity to make a gift end of year or even beginning of next year, think about Catholic Charities. If you want any information, you get on their website and you can always give an office a call. Well, I think Mr. Kincaid there is telling us it's time to go home. Listen,
oh,
Merry
goodness.
Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas.
We'll see you next week at the same time.
Bye-bye.
Sing this soul away. We are gathered here on hallowed ground. The voices raised, heads bowed down. We're gathered here on hallowed ground to sing this soul away.
We are gathered here
on hallowed ground. The voices raised, heads bowed down. We're gathered here on hallowed ground to sing this soul away.
Whether you need help with drafting a will or trust, power of attorney, health care proxy, living will, or protecting your assets from nursing home costs, Connors and Sullivan's goal is always the protection of your rights and interests. The professionals at Connors and Sullivan have been helping people like you plan their estates and protect their families for over 30 years.
I'm Mike Connors. Come to our office for a free initial consultation.
Talk with me or one of our experienced attorneys to see how we can help you protect your family, your assets, and your legacy. There is no one strategy that fits everyone, but the biggest mistake when it comes to estate planning is no planning at all.
Call Connors and Sullivan, Attorneys at Law, today to schedule a free initial consultation with an attorney at any of their convenient locations in Brooklyn, Midtown Manhattan, Queens, and Staten Island. 718-238-6500. That's 718-238-6500. Or visit their website, ConnorsandSullivan.com.
The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Connors and Sullivan, Attorneys at Law, PLLC.